Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Morning, Adam. How are you doing?
Good morning, Rafael. Unbelievably well for a
fantastic
part of a weekend.
Let's yes, can't wait. All right, talk to us about this national strike in France.
Oh, quite something. They haven't had one this big for a while, and this is likely to last 5 days. So we've had the first day, today's day two, and boy, has it hit them. In theory, it's 800,000 people or so who have walked out, which spread across society doesn't seem absolutely enormous. But the fact is, we're talking about teachers, nurses, hospital porters, lawyers, refuse collectors, energy workers, postal workers, train drivers, bus drivers, metro drivers, police officers even, in some cases, have downed tools. And then there are protests on top. If you remember the yellow jacket, they've been out again. And indeed, there has been some violence as well overnight, with 80 people arrested, I believe. And not all in Paris. This is, again, spread around France. So what this means, as it stands, is, for instance, a third of Air France flights have been cancelled and plenty of other airlines' flights have been cancelled because the air traffic controllers have walked out, or at least some of them have. Only a third of the Paris Metro is running. 90% of all France's high-speed TGV trains have been suspended. Schools have been closed. A number of offices closed. And this is all about pensions. It's a specific thing. It's not a sort of general thing. We're not very happy with Emmanuel Macron. This is specifically his pension reform. But Rafael, get this. Currently, France has such a complicated system of something like 62 different government pension schemes. We're not talking private stuff. And what he wants to do is take those 62 and turn them into one that everyone understands. But a lot of people feel that, for instance, they won't get quite the same benefits. They'll have to put more money in themselves. And here's the really tricky one. They'll have to retire later. Well, guess what? The whole of the rest of the world has already done that, hasn't
right.
it?
Right.
But France is holding out for it.
Mm. This is a flashback of 2012, 2013 between Greece and Spain. And they were trying to create reforms by increasing the retirement age, trying to save a bit of money. And the strikes would come up. It was also around austerity concerns.
Yes. Yes,
or excuse me, protests, not strikes, yeah.
I don't think this is so much austerity-led.
No, it's not. Quite right. No,
they have their economic troubles, but it's interesting how this is so whipped up as this big single issue. I don't get quite how. I mean, you know, sometimes you think strikes are absolutely the right way to go because what else could you do? But in this case, will this really affect change, I wonder?
Yeah, interesting. And then talk to us about the polar bear invasion.
Yeah, a little town right up there. It's not Siberia quite because it's sort of further along. So if you know your risk board, you're in Kamchatka territory.
Wow.
But otherwise, it's right over there. I mean, it's almost heading towards Alaska on the northern coast of Russia. And there's this little tiny town called Rykepi, where essentially it's frozen for a lot of the year. It's blooming chilly, and for the 700 or so residents who live there, you know, they get along well with the wildlife and nature and everything that is thrown at them, except there happens to be a polar bear community that is normally a mile or two away, and they're quite happy on the frozen ice, fishing for seals and other things.
Mm.
And sea hares. I hadn't heard of sea hares before.
What are those?
I didn't hares like rabbits. But apparently they exist, and apparently polar bears like to eat them. But the ice is less frozen than it was. There seems to be less wildlife for them to eat, so the polar bears have headed a couple of miles inland and have now invaded Rykepi. We're talking 50-something polar bears. And the trouble is, I mean, they look great on wildlife documentaries, but in real life, I think I'm right in saying that polar bears are the only animals that actively hunt human beings.
What?
I think even sharks only hunt us because we look like seals or look like other things. I don't think they actively go out to hunt human beings. But polar bears will because we are a tasty meal.
Oh.
And so therefore, having 50-something polar bears in your town
is a concern.
Isn't conducive to harmony, is it?
Right. And then Scottish Online. What is this?
Okay. It's a free online course that teaches the Scots language, not as in Gaelic, not as in actual Scottish language, but as in English with a heavy Scottish accent, but also all the words that Scotland has. So no more bafflement, obviously, over Billy Connolly and Ramsay Nesbitt, all those train spotting films. 40 hours to complete this course. It's an open university course. It is free, and it teaches, for instance, 100 ways of describing miserable wet weather. I mean, only Scotland would have 100 ways of describing miserable wet weather.
I mean, something that's prevalent. It definitely needs. Oh, wow.
Exactly. If you're in Scotland, you will need a phrase like this. It was drich and urlich in the Pishut. And if we were near Drukit, we dreamt of a flindricking fiefel.
What are you saying, bro? What do those mean? I think I picked it up. Okay, fab.
Basically, it's all about it was wet and miserable, and we would much rather it was snowing.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope you have a less than miserable weekend. We've got some sunny weather to look forward to here in Cape Town. Always a pleasure, Adam. We'll catch up with you on Monday.
You're right.
All right, then. Ciao.